राधा काल चंद जी कायो राधे जय राधा काल जी जी राधा काल चंद जी जय राधे जय राधा मानर मोहन राधा मानर मोहन जय राधे जय राधा मानर मोहन राधा मानर मोहन जय राधे जय राधा कालचंद जी राधा कालचंद जी जय राधे जय प्रभुपाद 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 श्रील प्रभुपाद जय गो हरि गो हरि गो हरि गो नित्य गो हरि गो जय ओम विष्णु परमहंस पदकचार्य असतरसी श्रीमान इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णु परमहंस पदकचार्य तरसी सीमा है डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती रिको महाराज की श्रीनामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से हो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री सद्वैत गृहार शिवश्री गो भक्तबिंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण साइम सुंदर राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मधुय धाम की नवदीप धाम की Jamuna Mai ki, Ganga Mai ki, Tulasi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinda ki, all glories to the Supreme Devotees, all glories to the Supreme Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. So, I'll put the blame on those who are addressing me that they're getting slower. It's not that I'm getting slower, that they're getting slower. So they have to see how to speed up a little bit. Because now I'm an invalid and they have to bathe me, dress me, and chill out for my chastisement before they all come out. I'm so happy today. I have three members, distinct, honorable members, the leaders of my God family, Mahaduti, who many of you heard his Bhagavatam class today, and hopefully he has enthused you with the wonderful reflections on the Leelas, on the Leela of Lord Ram. My duty is the president of one of the most important centers in the world, England, London. We know how that was such an important center for the whole Gaudiya Math. Bodhisattva wanted to see something done in that part of the world, and Prabhupada was fulfilling this desire. So this legacy has been passed down, and we have the honor to still his association for a few days. We traveled together in the library party, and I was very expert in agitating his mind. And I'm sure at least five times already by this afternoon I will agitate his mind. I probably only need to do two more, right? Shamik Rishi, who this house that we have here is due to his mercy. Practically, he never even lived in it. And he made it available for us to purchase. He has been such a well-wisher and a supporter of so many projects, especially Kiranagri and Now he is having the burden of having to be a manager, a president himself of the New Jersey temple. So bless you that you have to carry this burden. We pray for the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Sri Vaishnava Kripa Prathani. And then Malati, she is one of us. We're just kind of hopping out of prisons, New Vrindavan prison, the Gitanagari prison. So every now and then she escapes there, she comes here for a little bit. And then she escapes here and she goes there. And then sometimes she thinks she's almost free and she travels all around the world. Before a short time, he's been captured again by Radha Vrindavan Chandra. So I have to continue with this series. We have three or maybe four more presentations, and maybe I'll be able to stay in the body until we finish. But I want to get the blessings, all of us to get the blessings, a little more of Lord Ram, this one, Sita Ram, and Hanuman, Lakshman, Hanuman. They have appeared in such an awesome way. We've always been trying to think of what to do with this amazing Kali Yuga Vyasa seed that sits outside, and the pigeons and everything else have their affair. Someone told me that Malati was setting up the deities, and I said, well, deities must be put in a way that it can be seen very clearly by everyone. And somehow she was able to find the space to get them all on to Krishna's arrangement. It is said in Bhagavatam 6th canto, it mentions how the king is protected by seven elements. And most of them we know, the ministers and his spiritual advisors, but also his treasurers and his fort, etc. But more important than how he is protected is the major theme of spiritual rulership is protection. If you look very close, we'll see this theme, very significant, is that the king or the ruler is to protect. That means to be able to help to make it very clear what is nescience, and to make it very clear what is a siddhanta, what is proper seva, what is proper dharma and sanatana dharma. And the greatest protection is the king is to show by his own example, or the queen, by their own example, the king and the queen. And so this is the greatest way to serve. Acharyavan Purusho Veda, as we know the Acharya, we know what is what. The Padma Purana says, in reference to Pala Punya, is that when you think of a person, a saintly person, you get one thousandth of their merit. So I've been having a wonderful time these weeks and months thinking of so many of my God brothers and God sisters who are writing me and coming to visit me from all over the world. And of course now I've had to ask that they no longer come. And that may sound strange. If I am trying to be also some little type of ruler, leader, and die on the battlefield, but I'm looking at how to conserve energy as much as possible. Even yesterday I was doing a radio program, and 2 days ago radio, and a couple of days a film for the Oprah Winfrey Show, and then we are arranging a news review, interview in the Washington Post. So the idea is how, because most times it's downtime for me with this body, but then when we can use it more on telephone and by email, we can be in contact with many more people, many more God brothers and God sisters, and also it's time now that I need. You need to nourish more the internal self. Now, one of the things that we see as we look at the wonderful rulers in the Bhagavatam and the Shastra. And what to say of incarnation like Lord Ram? Is we see mercy, power, compassion, and selflessness. You know, we realize that there is this Ravana principle that must be constantly put to arrest. The evils of the mind, evils of the patterns of society. And we must constantly find ways how to check such and to be less and less influenced and to help others to be less influenced. But I thought it was very apropos with the beggar I'm going to read today, because there's two beggars that were probably the most difficult for me. One I'll read maybe days or before I'm leaving. When you hear it, understand that it may be around the corner. We bid each other farewell to connect eternally. But the beggar I'm going to read today was a very hard one. And I was thinking, as I was thinking of the pastime of Lord Ram, you know, even though we are Vaishnavas and Ram Bhaktas, but for so many, that's a very difficult story to deal with. Why does Lord Ram get so influenced by a common speculator? Why does he subject his wife to that influence or the concern of such a common person? Why would he abandon his children? Why would he have to put Sita through these awesome tests? And even after her chastity is proven, and still, he does not take her back into the kingdom. Now the Guru Kulis, they're wonderful because they don't hide their fears and their doubts and their issues with some things in the Shastra or with us or with the institution. So sometime back I was in Mexico, and Guavani and a few Guru Kulis, we were together and we were hanging out playing volleyball and doing a Guru Kuli thing, swimming and Vaishnava sport, of course, isn't it? We were chanting and doing bhajan also, taking a little pizza. And we just got into this circle and they just start firing at myself, and I think Guru Prasad was there most of the time. How do we understand this? We have tried so many ways to accept this and understand. And I thought, this is very good that they're thinking like this and expressing their genuine anxieties. This is an awesome pastime. The mother of purity being put to such tests and having to live and take care of her sons without a husband. So there are many things that are very highly complex when it comes to transcendence. There are many things that must be evaluated also in Krishna's pastimes based on just what is he representing in that pastime. Is he representing the mood of Vamana Dev or Nrisimha Dev or Matsya Avatar or Kurma Avatar? Is he representing the mood of Lord Narayan? He's representing the mood of a perfect ruler. Try to understand that. Therefore, by not bringing Sita back into his kingdom, him and Ram and Sita are non-different. So for the propagation and establishment of Dharma, as a ruler is to maintain, managing the mature energy, he showed that we must be ready to make even the most profound sacrifice on behalf of the well-being of others, even if it means we sacrifice ourselves. So what he's actually doing is sacrificing himself on behalf of trying to be concerned about everyone, even the most insignificant seemingly servant in his kingdom. With his Sabe Sukino Bhavan too, that people are to be happy when there's good leadership. And the good leader is to be concerned about the welfare of all. Sava Bhuta Hitai. Or like the Goswami, Lokanamita Kravanatra Bhuvaneya. Daya Yasava Bhuteshu. That merciful, kind toward all, far beyond doing something to get something, far beyond doing something to maintain their position or to create followers around them to protect what they have, which they do not deserve, or protect which they superficially are in control of. So in order to fully understand this story, we have to understand a little bit more about the Nara Leela, or the human aspect of when the avatars and the acharyas come, and the Nitya Siddhas, when the Lord himself comes. And we appreciate his incarnation even more, that he has that sweet human personal side. But also to understand these pastimes and to enter more into them, we have to be more ready to apply this to our own life, to see where the decisions are in our life and how much does it really start off with thinking of the welfare of others. And as we're not starting off in that way, then we need to go so much, take deeper inventory so that Krishna consciousness works better for us. So that means Shraddha, faith, and it means accepting that whatever the Lord does, that is perfect. There's a reason for it. Makes no mistakes. Ham savasya bhavabho matak savam bhavadade iti matva abhajang tegma bhura bhava samambitaha. He's controlling it all. The gross as well as the subtle. So I want to read a meditation in this spirit of how the Lord makes no mistakes. And so the meditation is cancer and offering of tough love. At some point during one of the most challenging periods of my physical illness, I realized I had to come to grips with the fact that this cancer was my best friend because of the lessons and the sensitivity and the service that it was offering me. And that was hard. Something that's like demon eating through your body. It's just constantly trying to, you know, devour you. It's foreign and it's trespassed into one's existence. So I want to read such an offering. We know how in the material world, jiva, jivasa, jiva, nam, every living entity is food for another. A Brahma, Bhuva, a Loka, from the highest to the lowest, is all places of this selfishness that goes on. And so this is the, you know, puna, puna, charita, charita nam, the chewing of the chewed. And to step out of that kind of thinking and to be able to understand more the selflessness and the great, amazing way how Lord Ram sacrificed behalf of the world as acting as a perfect leader, that we have to be less and less affected by happiness and distress. It's easy to be very motivated, very exhilarated when, boom, things are going according to our plan. But when they're not going to according to our plan, then we look close at what do we do in that regard. So, I read this. I can only sit so long, and I apologize for giving the class, but it's the schedule that we are trying to maintain for the website, for the TV audience, and for me once a week being present in the community. Cancer, an offering of tough love. Cancer, or a chronic disease in the body, is alive. Like any living entity, survival is of the foremost importance. It is natural instinct for one to organize their life around trying to maintain existence. My cancer is definitely life-threatening to my physical body. The medications and treatments are designed to kill off the cancer cells. So it is natural. They are fighting just as hard to survive. All life ultimately comes from Krishna. Of course, there are 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies that the soul can enter into. All of these physical and original spiritual bodies, we know it's all coming from the Lord. So, as well as the amoebas and germs, as well as the cancer parasites, they're living entities. It's like you have little demons. All life ultimately comes from Krishna, God. So all life has its purpose and can offer a learning experience. Today I want to send my love to the cancer. For after all, everything is for our benefit. Thank you so much, cancer cells, for offering me tough love. The cancer has helped me in connecting on a much deeper level with my biological family. We're all so different, but we're brought up very similar by my mother, who was, as we've discussed, most thoughtful and considerate. When she passed of ovarian cancer, we all bonded together very strongly as a biological family in prayer and support. When my brothers and sisters heard of my seemingly fatal disease, they all flew in to spend some quality time with me. We discussed so many important issues. We prayed, we laughed, and we cried together. In all cases, We were fully there for each other. Today I want to send my love to the Cancer. For after all, everything is for our benefit. Thank you so much, Cancer Cells, for offering me tough love. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, I have been brought in contact with such a beautiful, diversified spiritual family of God brothers and God sisters, nieces and nephews, etc. These wonderful servants have made most amazing sacrifices year after year. All over the world, they have spread the teachings of Sanatana Dharma. They have sacrificed wealth, health, family, sometimes education and prestige. Several of them are now aging and even passing away. We all are in that category somehow, whether we getting a little younger or we're passing away. During this sickness, I've been in touch with my spiritual God family from all over the world. We have connected on deeper levels as servants in Srila Prabhupada's mission more than ever before. Of course, we are also wondering who amongst us may be next to leave his or her body. This has helped us all to look closer at our own health, our situation, and most significant, to re-examine how much we need and depend on each other. Today I want to send my love to the Cancer. For after all, everything is for our benefit. Thank you so much, Cancer Cells, for offering me tough love. By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, I've been given so many loving disciples. They are praying for me daily, organizing and assisting in organizing special pujas and yagnas and other ceremonies. Most, and don't make me a liar, most have raised their own standards and have made greater commitments to the mission of Srila Prabhupada, to their families. They are coming together as a spiritual family more than ever before. They are trying to hold on to my instructions and reaching out to make each other more accountable. They are reaching out more to uncles, aunties, and others for shiksha. They are sending me more love than ever before. They are reading my books, listening to my tapes, and most important, reading, listening to the tapes of our founder, Charger, Srila Prabhupada, more seriously than they have in their entire spiritual life. When I was healthy, they were attentive, but nowhere near as much as they presently are. Today I want to send my love to the Cancer, for after all, God, Krishna, does not make mistakes. He arranges everything for all of our benefits. Thank you so much, Cancer, for offering me tough love. This seemingly fatal disease has caused me to look closer at my own attachments, gross as well as subtle. It has very clearly put them in front of me, what things need to be transcended before returning back to Godhead. The Cancer has allowed me to be much more appreciative of what I have previously experienced and accomplished. It has allowed me to be much more appreciative of the wonderful years of excellent health that I had most of my life. It has allowed me to look closer at what is really important in contrast to what is actually superficial and secondary. It has helped me to be more mindful each moment and to look closer at each encounter. It has clearly showed me how much I am and never was much in control of my life, even though I thought that I was. This has surely made me more dependent on Guru and Krishna's mercy. The uncertainty and desperation that cancer has produced has given me a wonderful chance to detach myself from my bodily identifications and to search out more connections with my eternal, permanent identity. Yes, today I want to send my love to the cancer, for after all, God does not make mistakes, and He arranges everything for our benefit. Thank you so much, cancer cells, for offering me tough love. Two or three more paragraphs, and then we will take questions. And my God brothers that are here, they can help us with the questions. Today I want to send my love to the cancer. I'm sorry, now it is no longer an academic or conceptual experience. The cancer has helped me to understand so much better the sufferings of others. Helps me to understand better what many people have to endure. I pray desperately to be a more empowered change agent so as to understand others' sufferings. I wanted the ability to help others to deal with their sufferings, to help them to grow from or move through these sufferings. So as we mentioned, it is no longer an academic or conceptual experience, but it is now experimental or experiential. That seemingly fatal disease has helped me to develop a deeper level of wisdom and compassion far beyond what I normally possessed. This has also allowed me to reflect and to write with greater sensitivity, with hopes that I would connect at a deeper level with the hearts of my readers. Today I want to send my love to the cancer, for after all, God does not make mistakes, and He arranges everything for our benefit. Thank you so much, cancer cells, for offering me this tough love. My dear cancer cells, you are a messenger who brings honest, accurate, bad news should not be faulted, even though the truthful news is unpalatable but valid. A messenger has the duty to deliver the precise message. You have done a very good job as a courier. This message has met its destination. I have received it in full, and I am acting upon it with intense haste and gravity. This wake-up call has helped me to look closer at Lord Chaitanya's prayer. This is the Shashastakam prayers. It is easy to be appreciative and grateful when everything is happening in our lives according to our desires or when things are very favorable. However, the real test of our faith and love is when we have tests, challenges, and setbacks that are confusing, bewildering, and when the Supreme Himself seems to allow or arrange such sufferings. Then I end with this paragraph and a half. Sometimes it's hard to accept that the Guru and God Himself arranges for our sufferings, for growth. No pain, no gain. When He may seem to handle us roughly or not be present before us. You know that prayer, I know no one but Krishna is my Lord, and he shall always remain as such. Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace, even if he makes me brokenhearted, he what? Even that much more remains my worshipful Lord. All of what the Lord does is best for our coming back to him. So this chronic disease has given me a better understanding of unconditional, unmotivated service. It has helped me to move faster toward embracing unconditional love toward Guru and Krishna, and more genuine service and appreciation for all sadhus. Like I was so happy yesterday that Siladini and his wife came. Siladini was one of most dear disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and was very much assisting him at the time he had his operation and was going through tremendous health crisis. We were so happy to be able to see him before we leave his body, and if possible we would beg that he would give the Bhagavatam class tomorrow if you're still here. He's a hospice priest, his wife is a university professor, so if you are already scheduled to get back to your job and you won't have time, otherwise we can have the Bhagavatam class at 3:30 in the morning. Devotees say, oh yeah, no bet. It has helped me to move faster toward embracing unconditional love toward Guru and Krishna, and more genuine service and appreciation for all sadhus. And then I end and try to listen closely with me, because each time I write these, I'm, you know, spilling out my soul, heart. My beloved Cancer, you must also die. You either die with me or before me, but neither of us can remain forever in these hellish bodies. So there's no longer any need for us to be enemies of each other. For our ultimate outcome with material nature is the same. Material nature destroys us. This is a time of thanksgiving, for I am so appreciative of the many wonderful things you have brought to me. Now you must die, and I must also eventually die. In both of our cases, our time is very, very limited. Therefore, once again, I want to send you love and appreciation for all the wonderful things you have added to my life. So especially today, I send my love to you, the Cancer. For after all, Krishna does not make mistakes, and he arranges everything for our benefit. I am, again, the lowly beggar. I am that lowly beggar who is thanking you, Cancer Cells, for offering me tough love. Hare Krishna. So I'm going to just speak for 2 minutes more. And then I'm going to be whirled away in my palanquin. And you have these four wonderful devotees, or three. No, four. Ladini, maybe you can join also. You can take my seat here. Don't think you can take my seat, though. But you can see what it's like. And he's our senior himself. So you can ask your questions. Prasadam is still going to be there. Matter of fact, if you're a little more hungry, you'll eat more. So stay at least another half an hour or so, or longer if you like. These devotees have come so far, and they have so much wisdom. And of course, this is distinctly in my mood that I want you, my well-wishers, and those of you I've been to GBC for, and the Shiksha and Diksha Guru, is that I'm with you, but I'm also turning you over to a larger spiritual family. I'm connecting you more with the transcendental system of the great acharyas. That, of course, takes us all the way back to Krishna. When you accepted me as your guru, first, you must have had a bad dream. But when you accepted me as your guru, you really accepted me as a little link that connects you with a brighter or bigger chain, or like beads. Well, we know what our beads. So one bead is there, but it is useful because it is connected with other beads. Then we can chant our mala. Now, for some of you who keep sending me your beads to chant on when, because you lost them, these are my original beads. These are my original beads I got. This rascal brahmachari. I still got them. After 33 years, I never lost them. So let me end with this little story, because our audience is very diversified, and much more the audience is non-Vaishnavas than Vaishnavas. Our TV series. I just want to give a little story, and the devotees have heard different versions of this. Hopefully the version you hear me give, you hear me give, similar to the one that you heard. If not, shh. Let's keep it between ourselves. There was once a king who had been given a sword. Well, in English we say sword. Huh? Sword or sword? Sword. What do we say? What do they say in England? Huh? You're American, but you live in England. You're a traitor. We got you back on the home territory now. We're going to deal with you. You go there to give all your services, huh? And we need you so much here in North America. Isn't that right, Malati? We need more leaders here in North America. I'm going to make expansions. You can't outwit the devotees. So, this ruler, so we're talking about rulership, he was sharpening this sword, and he cut his finger. It was given to him by, I think, by a Persian, also ruler. And in the process, he cut his thumb. So just like we were saying in Bhagavatam 6th Canto, a king is protected by seven elements. One of those elements is his swamis, his gurus, his advisors, his ministers. So one minister, his advisor, saintly, person. He had such shraddha, such faith, that everything happens according to the mercy of the Lord. So keep in mind, the different levels of devotees is based on the quality of faith, whether one is a kanishta, a majjhima, or an uttama. It's like part of the greatest aspect of my own offering to my terminal illness, that in some ways I'm kind of raising the bar of faith for some people. That means it's helping them to be a little more determined to do the necessary. So this ruler, he would go out on these hunts. But before he went out, he was in distress that he had cut his finger, his thumb. And so this advisor, who was always so upbeat, he said, "Oh, Your Excellency, it is all the mercy of God." And the king heard this, and other members of the cabinet heard this. And the king said, "What did you say?" He said, "It's all the mercy of the Lord." Now, sometimes we do this as devotees. A devotee lose something. We say, "Prabhu, don't worry. It's Krishna's mercy." The devotee gets sick. "Oh, Prabhu, you're not the body. It's Krishna's mercy." As soon as that devotee loses something, he calls the police. Some places in the world he goes to an astrologer. Some places he goes to a tantric. Find out who took my stuff. Chastise him. So the king was furious. If you had your thumb cut off, you wouldn't say it is the mercy of God. You upstart guards, put him in the cell under the prison. So they locked him up. The king went off, his royalty does. I think they do this in England, huh? They go horseback riding, they go hunting, and they go off. There are millions of acres of land. So is that how they do? English, that's how they do? They wear the nice hats. And so we see that, you know, there's a legacy like this. So the king was going off, and he was with his group, and he was kidnapped. And he was kidnapped by some village folk who just thought he would be very wonderful as a human sacrifice. You know, there are very high places and very low places on this planet where people engage in collection of spare body parts and also human sacrifices. So this also is nothing new. So when they greased them all up, got them ready, put them into the big pot, the priest realized, "Hey, this guy is a imperfect species. He's got an issue here. It's going to destroy, you know, your rituals will be done in a certain way, in a certain time, and certain presentation. And here, this body wasn't the body that could be offered for auspiciousness. Sometimes you do these yajnas in an auspicious way, then you get the inauspiciousness." So the purport of this is that they told the guy, you know, "Get out of here." They let him, they loosed him, they released him. They're angry. It's like what happened to me in, was it Romania? After they kept me in prison for so long. And at some point they says, "Get out of here. You got 24 hours to get out of our country, or nobody ever is going to see you again." And I said, "All right." "I don't mind." Taking orders. So when he came back to his kingdom, he was very reflective how this advisor said, everything happens by the mercy of the Lord. So he called for his advisor, and he says, "You know, you said everything happens to the mercy of the Lord. The day I was out, I mean yesterday we went for the hunt, I was going to be offered for sacrifice, and because my thumb was cut, it saved my life." He says, "So it looks like you do have some nice connection, understanding with your God, that everything he does is good. But he said, but hold a minute. But why he didn't protect you? You just tried to offer, be a courier to offer advice, and I threw you in prison and could have kept you there for the rest of your life. And, of course, the advisor says, you know, Your Excellency, usually when you go on those hunts, I'm right there with you. He said, and they would have captured both of us. And once they found you not to be sufficient, they would have thrown me into the pot. She said, so everything is mercy of the Lord. So I'm going to be like a demigod. I'm going to go off into the heavens. Maybe I can get past the heavenly kingdoms eventually. But you save your questions, and you ask these wonderful devotees, be greedy, and you know, try to milk them. You know, we bring the wheelchair. We have cows here, and we have a few milkers. So, more than one way how to milk. So take advantage of these wonderful devotees asking their questions. I just need to take all these mics off me. Bhakti Siddhanta, he says, Pran Ache Yehar Yeha Pachar. The one who has life and truth. As I said, I don't have much life, but still I'm trying to preach.